Salvate discipuli and salvate omnes. Welcome again to another episode of Latin in Layman's for a story time. So, for those that tend to listen to my podcast, maybe towards the nighttime realm, maybe you're drifting off into Betty by Basket time, sleep mode, if you will. Well, this is going to be a mythology episode diving into the myth of Sisyphus, who he was, what he did, and the hubris that he committed in order for him to incur the punishment that he had to endure for the rest of his life. Spoiler, not really a spoiler, because we already know the myth of Sisyphus leads to the eventual him pushing the boulder up the mountain for it to just roll back down the mountain. Thereafter, for eternity, him to just continue to do the same thing over and over again. It's like the punishment with Prometheus, where he has his liver plucked out by, I believe, an eagle every single day for it to just regenerate and for it to happen again. And it's also an etiological myth in that respect to show the regenerative properties of a liver. A liver can actually regenerate itself from just about the brink of, well, destruction, essentially. But, yeah. We're not talking about Prometheus today. We're talking about Sisyphus. So, if you haven't already, consider just leaving me a tip. Remember, you guys, I'm doing this all for free. Remember, your boy's recently unemployed. I really appreciate you guys considering to support me because it's free. It's all free. And you tip your coffee guy because that person guilts you when they flip the iPad around and insists, 10, 15, 20, 25, or whatever, you know, and then you feel obligated or kind of guilt-tripped. I'm not going to guilt-trip you, but I'm just going to say I'm providing better content than a guy just giving you a coffee, I promise you. Well, maybe not. I don't know. Depends on what you value more. Sometimes we need that coffee in the morning, but that being said, please consider it. You can find me at TikTok as well. You can go support me there, buy anything off my showcase. I get a little commission from that. I tend to vet really only supplement types of things. The only two things, well, the only thing I think that's actually physical would be the faucet that I use. It's the Frizz Life water faucet. Go look it up. I really like it because now it's in lieu of my pure water filter, because not only is it super versatile, it arcs and has like so many hinges and turns and stuff like that. It makes just hand washing dishes so much more easy. But it also comes with a bunch of water filters, and it's just super clutch. So it's $20 as well. It's not an expensive product. So consider that, if you will, if you're looking into a new water faucet, it's really easy to attach. And I finally was able to get it finagled to where it's working perfectly, no leakage or anything like that, even with how janky and old my water faucet is and that sink that I have is. You guys don't know, but my apartment it's got old appliances. Like, it's an old place still. It's got character, but it also has those smells, right, from old buildings. The building itself is an old renovated Victorian building. It's actually preserved in the historical, thing with Colorado Springs, because this was erected actually in 1902, this building. It used to be an estate, and now they've sectioned it off into 7 units. And so I'm going to shut up there because I'm just rambling, bambling, but consider, please. And with that being said, let us get on into the myth of Sisyphus.
Once upon a time, a long time ago, way off in a faraway land, in the ancient realm of Corinth, amidst the whispers of gods and the echoes of legends, there lived a man named Sisyphus. His tale was woven with the threads really of ambition, of pride, spun against the backdrop of a fateful encounter with the divine. Sisyphus, adorned with the audacity of mortal ambition, dared to challenge the authority of the gods themselves. What do we call that, you guys? I think we call that hubris. His heart, fueled by the fires of unyielding will, knew no bounds in its pursuits of glory. Yet with ambition came arrogance, and with pride came downfall. In the recklessness of his hubris, Sisyphus dared to deceive the gods. He defied the natural order, shunning the laws of fate, and daring to challenge the very fabric of existence, because with cunning and guile, he sought to outwit the divine and evade the clutches of destiny. But the gods, with their keen eyes and unyielding justice, saw through the veils of deceit. They cast their judgment upon Sisyphus, decreeing a punishment befitting his insolence. And so the boulder was set in motion, the eternal cycle of torment set in to begin. Up the rugged slopes of Mount Olympus, Sisyphus was condemned to toil. In fact, the word Sisyphus comes from the Greek Sisyphane, which means to toil. With every step, the weight of his transgression bore down upon him, an unyielding burden that crushed both body and spirit. Yet, undeterred by the weight of his fate, he persisted. In the ceaseless rhythm of his punishment, Sisyphus found a strange solace. Amidst the strain and the struggle, there was a defiance that burned within him, a defiance that whispered of freedom amidst the chains of his captivity. With each push of the boulder, he defied the gods, reclaiming a shred of agency in the face of their tyranny. And so, the myth of Sisyphus endures, a testament to the indomitable spirit of humanity. Though bound by the chains of fate, we found a liberation in the very act of defiance. In the face of an indifferent universe, we carve out our own meaning, finding purpose amidst the chaos. From the heart of Sisyphus lies the truth that transcends the ages, a truth that speaks to the resilience of the human spirit. Though condemned to an eternity of toil, he stands as a symbol of our capacity to endure, to preserve, and to find meaning in the face of adversity. And so as the boulder rolls ever onward, we are reminded of the eternal struggle that defines us all. Because like Sisyphus, we are bound by the inevitability of our fate, yet empowered by the freedom of our choices. In the end, it is not the gods who shape our destiny, but the strength of our will and the courage of our defiance. Because, like I said, Sisyphane means to toil. And that's what life is. At the end of the day, I'm not too sure how I feel about Sisyphus, because he did commit hubris, but really the reason why he was punished was really for the trickery of others, including the cheating of death twice. That's why really he was punished, is because he cheated death and the gods didn't really like it. But at the end of the day, the gods are kind of poopy buttholes as well, really. I mean, we see how Sisyphus shows us the importance of resilience and perseverance in the face of adversity, like I had mentioned before, because he's condemned to an eternity of ceaseless toil, hence his name, Sisyphane. Yet he continued to push the boulder up the hill. Now, I don't know if he was trying to just get the gains out of it all, because, man, like, he's probably got really jacked posterior chain, probably got some sick lats, traps, shoulders, boulder shoulders, probably good glutes, hamstrings, calves, quads. I mean, the dude's probably jacked. Like, you know what? Maybe he's like, you know what? If I'm going to do this, at least I'm going to get some aesthetic gains from it. But I'm just kidding as well, because it shows that we always find a way, don't we? Don't we always find a way? I know that I always find a way. As weird as it sounds, like, you know, I was talking to my brother yesterday. I love when we are able to kind of touch base. And it was the first time we had touched base after, you know, this whole stupid thing with my school and, you know, me just grieving about it because I got no closure from it. So when you have no closure and when you have a ruminating mind like mine, where you're like, what the frick happened? Like, I feel like I was given like all these like have truths that like I'm trying to like swim through and like sift and understand and piece together in order to actually find a semblance of what truth really is. I don't know. At the end of the day, for what I did for Monument and for what they did to me, screw them, you know. But it really is something that like I look at the iterations of my life. My brother looks at the iterations of his life and further down, and we kind of like reminisce. And we were talking yesterday, it really had me thinking about how much we've been through and how we still continue to go. You know, the one thing that me and my brother just like resonated so deeply was like, dude, like life just doesn't get easier, man. It just gets harder and harder and harder. Like when does it get easier? We laughed because it really doesn't. We just find a way. You know, we talk all about right now inflation and prices of groceries and prices of gas. And we're like, when is it going to come down? And it probably never will. When will rent come down? It probably never will. When will life get easier? Probably won't. Probably just going to get harder. And that's just the nature of this world, I guess. But we always find a way because, man, have I hit rock bottom. I've hit rock bottom more than once. I wouldn't consider this a rock bottom by any means, getting canned from my job. It's the first time I've ever been fired from a job. But also, I got fired from a job in an at-will state that gave me no reasoning whatsoever because they themselves have no clear backing. And they probably are just going to be the people that they are. And, you know, they told me that they had been considering this for a while. And I'm like, you know, you could have come to me and communicated that to me. But I'm pretty sure there's a particular teacher that I think had something to do with it. My mentor, because he always kind of showed a lot of jealousy towards me. So my mentor, I won't say your name, but if you ever listen to my podcast, I know you had something to do with it, dude. Because you are a really cantankerous person and you're a really jealous person and you're a really money-centric person for being in a field that really it's not for the money, man. You are such a money-centric person because if you were to hear the way in which your dialogue is, whether when you post on Facebook or whether you're talking to people in general, you always talk about money within any sort of thing that you're talking about. Money always comes into play with it. You're Scrooge. In fact, I've never seen him give anything to anybody but himself. He's always just a taker, not a giver. And just, I have a feeling he had a part of it. I know some parents had a part of it. I know that maybe some students had a part of it. It is what it is. But at the end of the day, some people were just out to get me for no reason. And isn't that crappy where I can't just have another life on TikTok where I talk about the struggles of being a teacher sometimes? And, you know, whenever I talked about teachers' struggles, they were from prior schools of mine. So when they had hearkened upon like, oh, you had disparaging comments about parenting and about students. And I'm like, those are lies. I've never disparaged anyone on TikTok. I have never talked poorly about students. In fact, my students at Monument are amazing. Creme de la creme. I miss them. I wish that I could say bye to them because you guys didn't give me the opportunity because I do love them. They're good kids. You know, everybody talks about it, Monument, how Monument, especially the high school, is the land of misfits. But honestly, they're misfits, but they're great misfits. They're amazing misfits because they're just kids that I resonate with. And I see, and they see me, and we see each other. And that's what respect is, because re means back, specto means to look at. So we're just looking back at each other, the respect. I see you, you see me, let's move forward in a positive way and uplift one another. But you know what? It is what it is. To toil is to toil. And that's what life is. To Sisyphean, if you will. Because I'll find a way. I'll find a way past this. We always find a way. Sometimes it takes a while. But it's all about being proud of oneself. And sometimes it's hard to be proud of oneself when you're also kind of feeling judgy about yourself or being hard on yourself. But again, remember that these things in life, everything is so transient. Trans across IT, that it, well, it comes from EO, which is an irregular verb, which means to go. That's where we get exit from. X means out of. IT means he, she, it goes. Exit, the sign above a door, means he, she, it goes out of. And in this case, an exit. That's what you do. You go out of a building. But transient means to go across. Everything goes across. Everything goes from one to another. It's like reading a sentence from left to right, and then you go down to another sentence, left to right, going across, and then across, and across, and across, and across. Because sadness isn't forever. Joy isn't forever. Happiness isn't forever. Sadness isn't forever. None of these are forever. And yet, sometimes when we're embedded in it, it feels like you just can't get out of it. So, was Sisyphus really at fault? Or did he just get really unlucky because he did something that the gods were not happy about? Because the gods are like, we're the only ones that should be able to do that. He cheated death twice. Just to get into it, since I didn't in my poetic beginning part here, the first instance occurred when Sisyphus cheated death, really when he was nearing the end of his life, aware of his impending demise, since Sisyphus really, he devised this kind of cunning plan to escape the clutches of death. He instructed his wife, Merope, that upon his death, she basically should not perform the customary funeral rites or make offerings to the gods. That's what he instructed her. Instead, he asked her to leave his body unburied and exposed. So following Sisyphus's instructions, Merope did as she, or rather he requested, I apologize. When Sisyphus arrived in the realm of the dead, he cunningly complained to Persephone, who's the queen of the underworld. Hades, we call it the, well, unfortunately, the myth is actually called the Rape of Persephone, but it's basically like the abduction of Persephone, the abduction, if you will, that Hades conducted. She's the queen of the underworld. He complained to her about the disrespect shown to his remains. And his persuasive arguments basically convinced Persephone to allow him to return to the world of the living to ensure his proper burial. So essentially, his instruction to his wife is what basically gave him grounds to argue to Persephone and be allowed to come back to the world. And so Sisyphus cheated death once by exploiting the rules and persuading the queen of the underworld to grant him a second chance at life. So, you know, maybe the gods were just a little ticked off the fact that Sisyphus just kind of outwitted them. The second instance of Sisyphus cheating death occurred when he had been condemned to his eternal punishment of rolling a boulder up the hill, only for it to roll back down each time he neared the top, featuring boulder shoulders and jacked back and posterior chain. But despite his hopeless situation, Sisyphus still found a way to deceive death. Knowing that he would eventually tire of his endless toil and long for release, he made a pact with his wife again, Merope, instructing her not to perform the customary funeral rites when he died, but instead to throw his unburied body into the middle of the public square. True to his intentions, when Sisyphus eventually succumbed to the weariness of the punishment, his wife followed through with his plan. When Sisyphus arrived in the realm of the dead for the second time, he complained to Persephone once again, this time about the disrespect shown to his remains, because where was his body left? Just straight up in the middle of the public square. The act of deception bought Sisyphus yet again another chance at life, as Persephone allowed him to return to the world of the living to ensure his proper burial. In both instances, Sisyphus's cunning and deceit allowed him to cheat death and evade the consequences of his actions. Is it bad lying, though, or was it like, I felt like he was just kind of a smart dude. I mean, his defiance ultimately led him to his eternal punishment, which served as kind of the cautionary tale about the dangers of the hubris and the inevitability of fate. But again, I think what it shows is the toiling of the humans, and that, on the other hand, as Sisyphus has shown, you can't really escape the inevitable. I am inevitable. You are inevitable. We're all inevitable. Fate is inevitable. Death is inevitable. We can't get away from it. And for these people that are trying to extend their lives way long after, you know, like people like that I used to follow and I used to love, like Dr. Mark Hyman and all these people, now they're just trying to, they got all this Peter Pan syndrome going, like where they want to like live forever. It's like after talking about Andrew Huberman and stuff like that, I mean, he's one of the people that want to live into his like 150s and 200s. Stupid. Stupid. Why do we want to be on this earth longer? It's already so hard. I don't know. With that being said and that bombshell being laid down, I'm going to leave it there. It's been quite a longer episode than I had planned on. But I hope you learned something new. And if you did, consider tipping your boy at Ko-Fi or maybe considering that Patreon. Because if I do start getting more Patreon supporters, I'm definitely going to be doing a lot more slam poetry, and I'm going to be shuttling that as my content for my Patreon supporters. So you guys can hear my lovey-dovey stuff. You can hear my academic writings, my iconographies on poetry and post-romantic views of war and World War I and sediment core analysis of the Animus Man. Like, I've done all kinds of papers, and some that are interesting, some that maybe are not, that I won't share, and a lot of personal essays. So if you're curious, consider it. If not, it's all good. Consider supporting, though. Consider helping me out right now, buying something off the TikTok shop. I don't know. Only if your soul is moved to do so, but it would really help me out at this time, at this very confusing time in my life right now, trying to sift through it all, trying to learn about it, and trying to work through the grieving process of this job thing. That being said, hope you guys have a wonderful day. Tempus est discedere.